Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, and I'm joined again today by Pastor Neil Radical. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. And our main goals with this podcast are to share God's saving word and to communicate the ongoing activity in Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. How are you doing today, Pastor?
Doing very well.
Pastor Radical prepared a brief devotion for us today based on 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21.
Yeah, it reads, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." I think this is a great verse because, again, it ends with that idea of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and baptism is a means of grace, a sacrament in which God does something for the individual who is baptized. It's not the individual themselves that are doing something for God in a way we might think, oh, well, the person's doing this. But no, God is blessing the person with that grace and the promise of what he does for the soul, that washing, that cleansing. It says it right there in 1 Peter 3, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, as in like washing someone's body, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. So cleansing the conscience, more specifically, more appropriately, cleansing the soul from its tainted sin. So this antitype, it says, which now saves us, that idea in the context is the flood which washed away the wickedness of the world, that what Christ has done of the unbelievers, those who were going astray from God's word. Now Peter corresponds that with baptism, and he says baptism is what saves us. Just as Noah and his family were saved in the ark, we have baptism that saves us through that word of God. Can someone be saved without baptism? Of course. God's word is not limited to just baptism, but it's something that Christ commands, something that we rejoice in, that we're able to be blessed by being adopted into God's family. And because of that resurrection of Christ from the dead, this baptism is being a part of God's family and realizing that Christ has washed us with his blood and given us that gift of eternal life in heaven. Your thoughts on this verse?
You know, I like that tying into the type and anti-type, and what that does for us is that the type and antitype, it's kind of a lesser to greater example. You can think of the example of the spotless lamb in the Old Testament as the lesser, whereas the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world would be the antitype, the fulfillment of that type. And of course, that's the person of Jesus. And so when you think about this lesser to greater example and apply it to this situation, you see that the lesser is the great flood, which is a worldwide flood that wiped out all human life and all the animal life outside of the ark. And how, and when you think that's the lesser example of God's power than the power of baptism, boy, that sure is humbling. And it really makes you think about, you know, the last time and the next time you see a baptism and your own baptism, just how powerful God was in acting and moving in your heart, because it's a greater act to wash your heart free from sin than the great flood, which was to wash the world free from sin. And that's just, it's so humbling and amazing to think about that fact. And it's all through, as our verse concludes there, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us in his death on the cross, through his perfect life and then his resurrection. That all becomes yours. And, you know, if you really study baptism and just see, you know, what all that entails for us, and we'll take a look at it in a little bit here as a part of this podcast, boy, it sure is amazing how God works in our hearts and lives, and it sure makes you realize that, yeah, it can work in the heart of a little baby, too.
Well said, brother. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, remind us every day of this water of life, this baptismal promises you've given to us through you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you cleanse us with your blood and through the water and your word, we ask you continue to help us rejoice every day, knowing that this means we are a part of your promises, a part of your family, and a part of your kingdom. Help us to live that way in glory and praise of your name. Bless us in all that we say and do, and help us remember those baptismal waters and what comfort it brings to our soul. Be with us, Lord Jesus. In your saving name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our continuation of different Bible studies are going on this week. Tonight, Wednesday evening, we'll continue our online Bible study on the book of James. You can look for that link coming out with the Emmanuel memo today. Also, our weekend Bible study will be changing and switching gears a little bit this weekend. We have been going through our liturgy study, which was prepared for us by our vicar before he took off. But this weekend, our vicar is coming back for Mission Festival. He'll be encouraging us in our continuing work in the ministry of Christ's kingdom here in Mankato and all that we have to do. And as a part of that, we're going to do begin a five-part series prepared by the CLC's Committee on Domestic Fields, which is a group of pastors and lay people in the CLC who work on how we can outreach, not just to our different mission fields overseas, but also specifically here in our local communities. And so this is going to be a very important Bible study. We pray that you can take part with us in person. We'll also make it available online, we pray, and you can check that out and see how we can encourage outreach in what we're doing here in Mankato and in the local area here, and reach out to the many different people who need the good news of the Savior in their hearts and lives. So we hope you can check that out. That'll be 5 weeks. The way that'll be structured is it's a 20 to 30 minute video that's been prepared by a different pastor in the CLC, and then there is a number of discussion questions that we'll be able to participate in. So we hope you can join us for that. As far as the gym is concerned, we have wrapped up the painting aspect of that. Thank you all who came and helped with that. It looks very beautiful down there. There's kind of a grayish color now, and still have that blue stripe all the way around. So that's done. And starting this week, the new floor has been begun to be put in. So that's being hired out. We had done all the work up to this point ourselves, and now we are hiring out this work to put in the new gym floor, and that'll be happening over the course of the next 4 to 5 weeks, I believe. So continue to keep that in your hearts and minds and prayers, and also your offerings. This is a significant cost to the congregation. The insurance did not cover nearly what we hoped that it would, but as a congregation, we have now taken out a loan from the CEF, the Church Extension Fund, which is a arm of the CLC. And that loan will need to be repaid. So please consider that in your offerings as well. Also want to announce coming up next week our voters meeting on October 19th. The Manual Board of Education is requesting nominations for a full-time secondary math and science teacher to begin next year. So again, this vacancy to fill the spot that Mr. Oxner left when he left. The individual may be asked to teach courses in 7 through 12 math, science, and or Spanish 1 and Spanish 2. Also a possibility for technological duties as well. So if you have any nominations or ideas for that, please speak to a voter. If you are a voter, please reach out to Chairman Zach Leon, Principal Brandon Heinze, or myself so we can get that individual on the call list. Regarding our prayer list this week, we want to continue to keep in mind our prayers for my mother, Desiree Nauman, who is now in her fourth week of chemo and radiation. The Lord is continuing to be with her and bless her through that and gives her strength. So I want to thank you all personally for your prayers in that regard. It's been very uplifting for myself and for my family to see the outpouring of love and friendship and fellowship that has come forth from this. And certainly the Lord has blessed all of us as we continue to get through this trial. And we pray the Lord would that His will would be done with it as well. We also pray for Jacob Bussey and his recovery, or his dealing with cancer as well. Again, he has a very severe case of bone cancer, and pray the Lord would lead the doctors and the physicians to correctly help him as well with the treatment of his cancer. Also want to give thanks. The Lord has brought Beth Grieve back to the classroom. I just bumped into her today. She's back, and we thank the Lord for giving her the gift of healing, and pray that that continues, that she may continue her important work of feeding God's lambs here at Emmanuel as well. And this brings us to our doctrine of the day. So we introduce this a little bit with our devotional study on baptism. Pastor, you want to walk us a little bit through kind of what you were thinking here with our study of baptism today?
Yeah, I thought maybe it'd be nice to do a series of showing controversies for doctrines. So showing the negative side of what people would say against baptism, for example, or a variety of other doctrines we'll bring up. Then again, go back to what does the Bible say truly about baptism? Again, we talked about 1 Peter 3:21 earlier. So one of the negative things, one of the things that is said against baptism is that baptism is simply a dedication of a child to God. It has no power to bring children into God's family. What would be kind of your quick response to that, Pastor Nauman?
Well, the verse that we brought up for our devotion today, baptism now saves us. You know, the idea that it's simply a dedication simply something that initiates the beginning of a life towards God, really turns baptism from an act of God into an act of man, rather it being something that God does for us, which is what he says it is, a washing of regeneration, a renewing of the Holy Spirit. Rather, it turns it into something that now we're doing for God, that we're taking this step and dedicating this child, or we are making a decision for God, when really it's the powers in the Word in baptism. And that's what Luther confesses in the Catechism. He says that the water has no power in of itself, the pastor has no power, the baby child has no power. The power comes from God's Word, and so it's something that he does, not something that we do.
Well, that kind of goes into another point that people would say baptism is just a symbol of the forgiveness of sins and salvation. I think it's important, like you just said, if it's the power is coming from God, what is he trying to attribute to us in that means of grace? Well, he's telling us that we are forgiven. He's delivering that good news to us through the water and through the Word. So it's a special outpouring, a special way in which the Lord applies that forgiveness. Just like we would say a bath is special in getting stink from your body, we'd say the baptism's not for getting stink from your body, but like we read in the devotion, it's really cleansing that soul from that stench of sin as well.
Yeah, and it, you know, if baptism is only a symbol, then it's not as it clearly the Bible says it is, which is the washing, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's kind of one of these things that can kind of twist us up in knots when we start using logic, both in our confession of sins and also in the Lord's Supper. You know, the means of grace is how do we receive forgiveness of sins? Well, when I go to church on Sunday morning, I confess my sins, I hear that I'm forgiven. Were my sins not forgiven if I didn't hear that? Well, no, of course they were. They were forgiven by Christ on the cross. Or if I go to the Lord's Supper and I receive the forgiveness of sins, well, did I not have forgiveness before that? Or what forgiveness is this now covering? And what we need to realize the sacraments are is a outward manifestation of the forgiveness of sins. And I explain it kind of like this. As pastors, we're trained to teach. We go through education methods classes, which teachers do as well. And in those classes, we're taught that the more senses you can get involved in your teaching lesson, the more likely a child is to remember the principle that you're putting forth. So if I tell a child 2 plus 2 is 4, well, that's just a mental thing. If I write on the board 2 plus 2 is 4, now it's both they're hearing it and they're seeing it. And then if I give them two apples in each hand and I say, look, 2 plus 2 is 4, now they're hearing it, they're seeing it, they're touching it, and if they take a bite of the apple, they're tasting it. And this is what the Lord does for us in baptism and communion. The Lord gives us an outward visible sign of the forgiveness of sins. It's like God saying, you know, I'm going to tell you that your sins are forgiven, but I want you to tangibly feel it too, and I want you to tangibly, in the case of the Lord's Supper, taste and see it as well. So that baptism is not simply a symbol. Baptism is really the forgiveness of sins, because Scripture makes it clear that it is. It's not just a symbol. It's something that is really and truly washes sins away.
Would you compare it to a visible contract, like in the Old Testament, like what he had with Abraham? Circumcision was a sign, a covenant, a promise. Would you look at it that way, similar?
Well, no. In the Old Testament, the covenant was God saying, if you obey me, if you keep my contract, if you keep these Ten Commandments, I will be your God and you will be my people. In the New Testament, Christ comes, he says, this is the new covenant in my blood. And the new covenant is not a two-sided deal. It's not a covenant where we keep our part and God does his part. Baptism is a one-sided, it's almost like a, you know, we use the word testament. It's a will and testament. God says, this is the deal. Your sins are washed clean through the blood of Christ, through the cleansing waters of baptism.
It's an inheritance versus like our responsibility to keep the one side.
Yeah.
So a couple more points here then. How about as far as how are baptisms done? I think that really traps up a lot of people. So a lot of people today say baptism must be by immersion. And so that idea of what does Scripture teach us as far as how to apply the water in baptism?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in the New Testament, the word baptizo, which is the Greek word, simply means to wash. And so you know, when the Greek moms told their kids, get inside and baptizo your hands. You know, that's what they told them to do. Wash your hands before dinner. You know, clean yourself off. And actually, the word baptizo is used quite a bit in Scripture, not referring to baptism, but just referring to the washing. You know, the Jews had quite a few rituals concerning washing of feet and washing of hands before meals and so forth. And actually, there's an Old Testament connection with this as part of the cleansing rituals of the Jews to make them clean. So if you remember in the Old Testament, there was all kinds of things that made you unclean. And those unclean things made you unacceptable before God. And so you'd have to go through rituals, oftentimes involving taking a red heifer and burning it and taking its ashes and mixing it with water and sprinkling that water on you or on whatever items might be unclean. And in that way, you would go through this ritualistic making clean. And the whole idea behind that clean and unclean concept in the Old Testament is, you know, as sinful human beings, we cannot go before holy God. We are unclean on our own. We need to be made clean, not through ourselves, but through an external means. And this was the picture in the Old Testament. So the priests had to cleanse themselves before they went to the temple. The high priest had to offer sacrifices for his own sins before he could then go into the Holy of Holies to offer up a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And there was a restriction. You could not get to God. You could not get to the holy God based on your uncleanness. And so you'd go through these rituals to make you clean. Now in the New Testament, God says, here's the deal. The veil in the temple has been torn in two. You no longer have to go through external means of access to God. You have been washed clean through the waters of baptism, that they have washed you and made you clean. And so this idea that that it now means immersion and that's the only case, well, that's just simply not the way that word reads in the New Testament. It's simply an application of water, a washing. And it's not the immersing concept, but it's the washing concept. In fact, there's one verse that mentions go and wash your couch. You know, and if that baptizo means to immerse, well, if you took your couch and dipped it in the river, your couch wouldn't be work too well anymore.
Wouldn't I get it back
either? Yeah, right. Yeah, floats down the river. So so the idea that baptizo means immerse is it's not congruent with the simple reading of the word baptizo in the New Testament.
Yeah, I think it's helpful to look at it. What does it do for our soul versus what we're doing? What does the Lord do for our soul through these baptismal promises and what he commands in the New Testament? So I appreciate your explanation to that. There's always more to study and discuss on that very important doctrine and teaching. So hopefully that wets your whistle enough for today. Anything else you wanted to say on baptism?
Well, just, you know, it's something that we can forget oftentimes is our own baptism, especially because most of us who were baptized as infants don't remember. And yet it's something that we should daily bring to our minds and remind ourselves and our evil foe, the evil one, the devil, remind him, you know, I was baptized by Christ. My forgiveness is sure and certain. God's been working in me since my baptism. So you have no sway over me. You have nothing that you can hold over my head because I've been washed clean in the blood and the waters of Christ.
I think that fits with that closing hymn that we chose. You want to lead into that? Okay. I'm going to read from the worship supplement, hymn 751. I'm going to read verses 1 and 4. Certainly verses 2 and 3 are great. If you have a supplement at home, I encourage you to read that. For today, we're just going to read verses 1 and 4. God's own child, I gladly say it, I am baptized into Christ. He, because I could not pay it, gave my full redemption price. Do I need earth's treasures many? I have one worth more than any. That brought me salvation free, lasting to eternity. Death, you cannot end my gladness. I am baptized into Christ. When I die, I leave all sadness to inherit paradise. Though I lie in dust and ashes, faith's assurance brightly flashes. Baptism has a strength divine to make life immortal mine. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on the Twin Steeples podcast. Once again, Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you, and may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.